5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! All right, guys, this is Freeman from ZombieCast and Knuckleball Radio. You're listening to the most awkward thing on earth, the Hardly Awkward Podcast. I love you, brother.
Hey, it's Matt Bradford with Video Game Outsiders and ZombieCast, and you're about to get horribly awkward with this Sean guy. And believe me, it gets awkward.
Yo, yo, this is Yogi from Horseplay Live. You're listening to Sean Imes. Horribly awkward. I farted. I think I may have pooted myself. Is that awkward? Yeah, horribly awkward. Tune in. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. Okay, bye.
This is Mike from XD Experience, and this is Horribly Awkward.
Hey, what's up, guys? Are you guys here for the same role?
Yeah. We heard about it yesterday.
I can't believe it. It's crazy that crawler die X in space. This is going to be so much fun.
I know. It's going to be crazy. Are you afraid of space?
I'm not afraid of space, but the little you guys don't know is I got mad crawling skills. Like mad crawling skills. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mom used to say I was the best crawler. I was the best crawler at the age of one. I mean, I was crawling all over the place. It took me until age two to walk, but I mean, I got crawling skills for days.
Oh, dang. Well, now I'm like nervous. Well, you know, I really want this part, so you're going to have to be pretty good to beat me.
I don't know. Let's get this dude. Hey, dude.
Sorry. Or you got to be pretty mad to beat
you. Yeah. Can you, how about this? What's your name, sir?
Oh, man.
hey man, okay, how about this? Me and this chick right here, me, we're gonna have a crawl off.
Oh my god.
and you judge it. Ready? Get set?
I'm ready, go.
okay, you won. You guys win. This is horribly awkward, so we're just gonna stop doing it. Matter of fact, let's just do a podcast instead of crawl off. This was super fun, though.
Fun beginning to any interview we've ever done.
Yeah, this is
the best, dude. Say, hey, Normie, give me a horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
That's horrible.
I can't even control myself. It's so horribly awkward.
This is so awkward.
This is so awkward.
This is horribly awkward. No one off.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Sean, dude, you're horribly awkward.
Sean, I know you think this is weird, but it's not as weird as you think it is, dude.
Don't think that it's awkward.
Welcome to the 22nd episode of Horribly Awkward. I'm your host, Sean. As always, another podcast and another pair of kick-ass awesome guests. I'm going to skip all the crap I normally go over in the beginning because I want to get down to the show. We're going to get down to it because this is going to be amazing. This is going to be super awesome. You guys know if you want to drop me a voicemail, 510-600-3475. So drop me a voicemail. But on today's show, I'm very excited. Super duper excited for this. From the insanely, panically, claustrophobic-y horror movie Crawl or Die. Crawl or Die. I was able to convince the director, the lead actress, to come on Horribly Awkward. Like, no joke. This is for real, guys. I'm not going to edit these voices in. They are real. I promise you. These are two super awesome people. So, Nicole Alonso and Oklahoma Ward.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
What's your guys' movie called Crawl Bitch Die? I mean, Crawl Bitch Crawl or something at one point?
Yeah, when we very first began and we made the first version of the movie, because there's two versions of the movie. When we made the very first version of the movie, we worked with a distribution consultant named Peter Broderick, and he's worked on everything from Blair Witch to Napoleon Dynamite to The Following. Yeah, anyway, brilliant guy, very down-to-earth guy, and he was helping us, and he was like, look, you guys have no money. Originally, the movie was called Crawl. By the time we finished the movie, another independent film came out, Crawl, that had hit all the film festivals. Aww. And when we were submitting, we were getting notices back from film festivals telling us, hey, you've already shown here. And we were like, no, we haven't. What are you talking about? Well, so we were getting confused with this other movie named Crawl. So we had to change it to something. And we were like, what's a title that nobody uses, has never used in a movie, which is always a challenge. And we were like, you know what? Crawl, bitch, crawl. And the minute we did that, the internet exploded, positive and negatively. But, you know, everybody was talking about it. And that's kind of what kicked everything off. And that's when on the internet and on Twitter and social media, I mean, we had people screaming at us
before
they even knew what the movie was about. We had people behind us.
We still get people that totally love that title and wish it would have stuck. And we probably would have stuck with it, but we quickly found out that when we went to get distribution, a lot of platforms didn't so much like
Walmart,
that
title. Redbox, even considered, and that was just too much money for us to pass up, so we changed it to Crawl or Die.
Crawl or Die is a fantastic title. I mean, I love Crawl or Die as a title. No joke.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we were really happy with how it came up. At the same time, we are putting out the Crawl Bitch Crawl version.
Okay.
Because the original version of the movie, and I'm not giving away anything by saying this, but the original version of the movie that we have still, you never saw the creature. You only heard it all the way through the movie. And it was really effective. We spent a lot of time on the sound of the creature. And then when we got distribution, they offered us 7 days and some money, with I think $7,000, to add the creature, or they were going to shelve our film for 3 years and not put it out.
Oh,
and
really?
So they kind of forced us, because I had said I don't want to show the creature. I didn't feel we had enough money or expertise to be able to do that. We were going to do that on the sequel. And so I had to pull the team together, and we worked our ass off. And in 7 days, we shot the creature and inserted that into the movie, which is now the version that's out there.
Most insane thing ever, trying to build and film a creature in 7 days.
Right.
It was crazy.
Imagine. I can't do anything in 7 days, guys. I couldn't even prepare for this podcast in 7 days.
So, you know, it's been one crazy-ass journey. Because we're about as blue collar as you can get. I tell people I don't have any idea what your income is, but whatever your income is, more money than what Nicole and I have. We literally live in a garage out in the middle of nowhere. And so we only had $5,000 to make the whole movie, and everybody told us we couldn't do it. And so we just went down this journey, and it's just been a crazy ass journey.
I really loved Crawl or Die. Like I heard you guys are both on Eddie Rotten's podcast, Zombie Life podcast.
Yes.
I became friends with him through another podcast that we're all doing together. But I had asked him, like how hard was it to get them? Because after I heard the episode with him and all the stuff that you guys were talking about, I had to watch it. I watched it right away, and I was like, I fucking love this movie. Like, I love this movie because it makes you feel something.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, it's always weird talking about your own work.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to come off sounding like, yeah, man, I think it's good. You know, but we are proud of it. We are proud. I mean, look, we know every single flaw in the movie because we made it, things we wish we would have been able to do different. But at the end of the day, we were really proud of it. Like, even the version without the creature, we were really proud. And I think, in a way, I mean, there are people that love the creature. In fact, after the movie came out, we had some very large studios fly us to Hollywood and make us a whole proposal and everything like that. And what we found out is, I think because the creature wasn't in the original part of the movie, we realized that we had to make a movie that was really zeroed in on claustrophobia, really used sound, and really hit on a good performance. And I think it's funny, I think we may not have focused on all of that as hard as we did had we known people were going to see the creature. Since we knew that nobody was going to see the creature, we were like, all the other aspects of the movie have to kick ass. And so at the end of it, I think we were really proud. I think we were ecstatic about it.
I wouldn't say you would need to see it. It was kind of nice to not see it till the very end. Like, you know, like Aliens, the original, or you watch a movie like Poltergeist, where you don't see much at all. It's just like there's just staticky TV, and like, you know, movies, your imagination could be more powerful than actual visuals, which is nice.
You know, man, I completely agree. I am not going to ruin. I never trash anybody else's work. I don't feel that that's my job. I think critics are welcome to do that. But we just watched a movie yesterday. I'm not going to say what it was. But
okay.
5 minutes into the movie, they showed the complete creature. And I was just like, man, if they would have, it was more scary when we didn't know what it looked like. It was more suspenseful because what Nicole thought it looked like was scary to her, and what I thought it looked like was scary to me. But the minute we both saw it, we were like, that's not scary at all. And so I think sometimes some Hollywood films jump that shark way too early. So, and it's funny that you brought it up. We both really want to say thank you for saying that, because we had to fight the distributors. They wanted us to show the whole creature. I think
it was in the first, like, 3 minutes.
In the first 3 minutes. And I fought that to the very end. I was like, no.
I'm glad you didn't.
It's got to build up. And I used the movie Alien and three or four other classic horror films to back me up. I actually had to go in there and say, look at what these films did. You know, why are you trying to chump Ridley Scott? I mean, so it was crazy. But I'm glad you said that. It makes us feel good anytime anybody brings that up, because that was a good three-month battle on our part.
For sure. Yeah, there's one movie I can think of off the top of my head that was incredible until they showed the evil in the movie, which was Signs. I thought Signs was incredible because you heard the noises, you seen things, and then they show this close-up at the end, and you're like, oh, that ruined it. Like, what'd they do? Why'd they do that?
Yep.
Yeah, it's that is really hilarious.
It was the same for me with that I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Like, yes.
Into it, and then you saw these CGI stupid-looking things, and it ruined it.
I was really into the first half of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think practical effects are making a comeback.
I do, too.
Good.
I do, too.
They should make a comeback. I mean, even like, I wouldn't say Star Wars Episode 7 was practical effects, but it did a lot of practical effects, and the stuff that was actual physical things moving around was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
I think still today, unless you've got millions and millions of dollars, I think the combination of combining practical and CGI works. You can make that work really well. I still think pure CGI on 90% of the films, to me, it takes me right out of the movie. I go, that's not a real creature. To whereas I can go back to the original thing, and while you kind of can tell it's practical effects, it doesn't take me out of the movie. I feel like it's something's really there. So I enjoy practical effects a lot. The sequel is going to be all practical effects, except for a couple of things that we're adding in, but not on the creature, like visors and pop-up scanners and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've been seeing all those pictures of Nicole, like, lifting weights and stuff. I'm like, Are you afraid?
Yeah.
In Oklahoma, are you afraid of Nicole? Be honest.
Yeah, I'm afraid of her all the time. Trust me. I wake up afraid of her.
Yeah, Nicole, you are a badass. I mean, let's not even skip around here. Let's not, you know, you are a badass. I mean, I wouldn't mess with you. If I saw you in a bar and I turned and you turned around and you just spilled a drink all over me and it was all your fault, I would say sorry. Like, no joke. I'd be like, I'm sorry.
And you know, it's so funny. It's like the biggest compliment that you think that, because in life I'm actually super like shy and kind of a nervous type person. So
she's a pretty big nerd in real life.
Yeah, I'm like really nerdy. So it's really awesome that you feel that way, because that means you believed my performance. So that's amazing.
It's same with me on podcasting. I have social anxiety, terrible social anxiety, crippling social anxiety. That's why I kind of started this podcast, to do a lot of one-on-ones and put myself in uncomfortable positions and do improvs and crap like that. But when I'm behind the mic, I'm different than if I was, like, if we were in person doing this, you guys were here and we had like two mics set up, I'd be fidgety, I'd be nervous, I would be sweating. It's different.
You know what? But those type of things are great. In fact, I consider you an artist then. I mean, because you're doing something creative and you have a passion to do it, and it pushes you past your fear. Yeah. Look, I'm the same way. People ask me, I love actors more than I love movies, actors in movies. I don't care what they do in their real life. But it's because I've tried to get in front of the camera, and I am the worst actor on the entire planet. And I have such an admiration for what they're able to do because I can't do it. But I found that when I pushed myself past my fear of interacting with actors, because I literally thought they were different species. I was like, how do you do this? Because I can't do it. I start sweating, stuttering, just like when you all did the improv. You two were riffing, and I'm over here going, I have no idea what to say. I'm an idiot.
Turning like 15 Shades of Red, if you've seen them.
And so I found it. When people push themselves past their fears, all of a sudden they just start to blossom. And I just think it's great. That's why I love working with actors, because I find that most actors are really usually camera shy and most of the time pretty shy in public life. And it's fascinating to watch them transform in front of a camera.
Yeah,
and I love pulling that out of them. So, yeah, man, I think that's cool that you started this and you know that about yourself. And that's awesome.
I've noticed that Nicole is kind of like a chameleon. She's like the next Johnny Depp or Daniel Day-Lewis. And what I mean by that is, you see a movie like Crawl or Die, you're one character. I've seen some other photos of you on your IMDb, as a brunette, and then you got blonde hair, and then you're like, I can't even tell side by side. I can't even tell it's the same person. You are a chameleon.
That is awesome. Like, seriously, Daniel Day-Lewis is goals. That guy's amazing. So, that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, because, you watch those actors, and they can be from one role to the next one. They're like chameleons. They're just, they are that role. And, you seem, the same way. Nicole, what was your first time behind the camera? What was your, first kind of role?
My first...
Besides the X-rated film.
Oh, shut up.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Dream on. My first role was actually in Oklahoma's first movie. It hasn't come out. I don't know if it will.
I probably never put it out, but
why not?
Yeah, that's what we met. I auditioned for his first film, and I got a really small part. And luckily, it worked out that he thought I was good and decided to trust me to play Tank. So, but it was a great experience, that first film. It really gave me, because I always did plays and stuff in high school, but I'd never done anything on camera, so... It was a great learning experience, and being around on a set, I kind of fell in love with it with film acting then, because just being on a set is probably the best thing in life. Like, if I could be on a set every day and be acting every day, I'd be the happiest person in the world. It's just amazing. So, but yeah, that was my first, it's called Isolation, but that was my first shot at it. I think I did okay.
Yeah, I didn't even want to see her. They sent the crazy headshots.
No, you gotta tell them what it was, though. I didn't have headshots because I had never auditioned before for a movie. So when I heard about the audition, I ran out with a friend and had my friend just take pictures of me, in front of trees and shit. It was the worst headshots ever. They were horrible.
It wasn't even so bad. I mean, I really don't believe in headshots that much. I hate it when actors have to spend so much money on headshots. I'm like, just send me a Polaroid. That's fine. But I didn't think you fit the role. To me, when I was looking, and he's so right, you are so a chameleon. Because you looked in person, you looked nothing like this photograph. And I was like, I don't want to see it. So I was dealing with the lead actor, and I'm heading down this path, and we're all sitting in this room, and she walked in, and I was like, oh, man, here's this girl. I was like, bring her in for a couple minutes, and then we'll get her out of here. She came in, and she did this audition, and she had everybody in that room crying. I mean, it was the bomb audition. And
God,
I was
nice.
Like, Jesus Christ, sign this girl up. And I never forgot it. And so I wrote Crawl or Die with her in mind. But I gave her the choice, before I cast the movie. I said, you can either play Tank or you can play Package, and it's completely up to you. I think you could nail, Tank, but I'm going to give you the choice of which one. And,
I mean, after, reading the script and everything, I love Package, but I don't know what actor on this planet wouldn't read Tank and go, fucking A, I'm playing Tank.
Yes.
It was really scary because she's so opposite of me as far as her personality, but I was like, I gotta do it, you know? I love a challenge like that, so.
But actually, how he was talking, how he gets social anxiety, you were really scared.
Oh, I was terrified because I knew that
you were. She was visibly shaking before the very first day of take.
Well, I just knew that it was important that she be tough, but also be a woman, and people needed to connect with her. And it was just a lot, like, and he had me watch, like, several movies to sort of study before, and he's throwing at me, like, Alien and Terminator 2 and Domino, and I'm like, holy shit, like, that's what he's wanting me to live up to, and I was like, oh my god, this is, so it was really scary, but at the same time, I was excited by the challenge, too. So.
Well, the last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you take over on this, which was, I personally think one of my favorite things that you did, and I kept drilling this into you before the first day of filming. And I was a little nervous because it's a really fine line. I said, I don't want you to be a superhero. I don't want you to play Rambo. I don't want you to be this person that can jump out of a 50-story building on fire and land on your feet and kill 20 people with your left hand. I want you to be a real person that's maybe you're not the strongest, maybe you're not the fastest, maybe not even the smartest, but you have a will that will never give up. And I was like, that's a fine line to play. And I thought you nailed it. Like, I remember the first time I watched the screening, I was like, wow, your performance is better than the whole movie. You made the movie.
Aww,
and so
you.
I was really, really happy with that.
All right, guys, get a room. Get a room.
Look at you being nice. Aww.
Get a room. This is getting too lubby-dubby up in here. This is about horror. This is about claustrophobia and panic, and you guys are over here smooching each other.
No.
Oh, my God.
Okay, guys. Seriously, though, Crawl or Die is really, really great. I love movies that make you feel something. I want to feel like it. Was any of your inspiration? I mean, it's kind of hard not to compare it to The Descent.
Oh, okay.
Because like when I watched that movie, I got the same feeling. Like, don't go through that. No, don't go. You're like, your butthole puckers. You're like, don't go. Your stomach. You lose calories. You're like doing sit-ups. Just your stomach, like, don't go through those tunnels. And, like, you get the same feeling from Crawl or Die. It's like, no, you're going smaller and then smaller tunnels and then smaller tunnels and you're digging through dirt. And I'm like, I can't breathe. I cannot breathe.
The Descent, it was a culmination of a bunch of movies. It was in Aliens when Bishop gets into that small metal tunnel to go crawling.
Yeah.
Remember, I was watching that in the theater, and that was the most terrifying thing to me, and that only lasted like 42 seconds. But I remember when he first got in there and they were welding him in, I thought, my God, if there's one in front or behind, he can't even fight it. You just got to sit there while it eats its way through you. And then one of my favorite movies, The Great Escape, I love when they're in the tunnels. I could have watched that whole movie with them in the tunnel, The Descent. And I just remember I was sitting there going, what's a movie I've never seen? And which is hard to do. And I was like, you know what? I've never seen, if they would have taken that scene from Bishop, if they'd have taken that tunnel scene from The Great Escape and made it the whole movie. And when I brought it up, they were like, you can't do that. They were like, there's no way you're going to keep an audience interested if in the beginning of the movie they go in the tunnel and they're in the tunnel the whole movie. You got to have outside shots. Kind of like Buried. They used that as an example for me. They said, notice that every 15 minutes they did a flashback to where he's out of the coffin or his wife trying to find him or whatever it was. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep the audience right there smack dab in that tunnel. And they were like, oh, you can't do it. And so then we were like, oh, yeah, we're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really great because all the tunnels are real. Like, there's no escape hatches. So we're crawling for sure in these tunnels. And if you want out, like, you'd have to be cut out, which would have taken forever. Oh, and the other thing that was cool, and The Descent sort of inspired him in this way, is everything was natural lighting. And because in The Descent, he was like, why is there a bright light shining on the wall? Like, that would not be there.
Yeah, look, because I have friends that know the director very well.
We love that movie.
We own it. We love it.
It inspired you to use natural light.
Right.
Instead, so all the lighting is just our flashlights. And it was a cool challenge for us, I think.
Yeah, that was the gauntlet we threw down. We were like, you know what?
We wanted it to feel real.
We wanted it to feel real in those tunnels. And I said, the only way I know to do it is to build these tunnels without escape hatches. They're 75 feet long. So if you're in the middle and you have a panic attack, it's going to take us 20 minutes to cut you out.
Oh, no.
And that includes the crew with the camera and everything. So the camera was in there with us. And I think, to me personally, just watching it, it helped it to feel like you were with us in the tunnels, because you were. I mean, the camera was with us. It's not like there was a hole that the camera could stick in. It was like...
There were numerous times where we were in there for like 2 or 3 hours before we could get out.
It was rough.
Yeah, it was crazy.
There's no way I could do that. There's absolutely no way. I'm not even going to crawl through a 10-foot tunnel. Oh, geez. That's scary. I really do. I would panic so hard. You guys would be cutting me out. I'd be 10 feet in, like, nope, pull me out, grab my feet. I don't see how you did it.
Well, it was actually, I don't think we ever said this on an interview, but it was a funny story. When we were first doing pre-production, we were testing out different types of tunnels and going, what will work, what won't work. And he drives me over to his friend's house at o'clock at night, and he lets me out of the car. And in front of his friend's house, they have dropped off one of those sewer drains that they were planning to install like later. And I don't know, what was it?
It was 13 inches and it was 25 feet long.
Right. And he goes, I think this is what we need to do, something like this. He was like, I brought the camera. Why don't you crawl through that and we'll film and do some test footage? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm getting panicked. You're just talking about this. 13 inches?
Yeah. Like, I could barely move in there, but...
Yeah, it took her a long time because she had to do, like, the inchworm thing. And that was steel.
That was steel. That one was brutal.
Yeah, you got stuck, I don't know how long that would have taken to
cut. I'd have been screwed. Now that I think about it, thanks a lot, because I'd have just been stuck in that tunnel. But
yeah, Oklahoma's like, I'll come back in the morning when it's all lit up.
That's right.
You just sleep in there, and it was like wet, and there was spiders and bugs all in there. I was like, this is going to be the whole
thing. And me, as the director, I'm looking at it through the camera. I'm like, this is great. This is what we're going to use.
Oh, that's hilarious. Do you guys remember that story of that little girl who fell, like baby Jessica? She fell down that. That's what I'm envisioning right now. Because I remember watching the movie on that. You know, that was when I was younger. But, like, I remember, like, you're getting stuck in there. I just picture you guys getting stuck. Oh, that freaks me out. Seriously. Like, that freaks me out.
In our film, the smallest tunnel that I crawled through, not the dirt one, but the last metal small tunnel, I did get stuck twice. Like, I really had to talk to myself and, like, just sit there and breathe and be like, you're not going to die. It's fine. Just squirm it and you'll get out of it. But my shoulders kept getting caught.
And you really got caught and claustrophobic under the floor.
Yeah.
You had a really hard time.
That under the floor was probably the only time filming that I actually almost lost it, because I really got stuck and he didn't know that. So he's filming and he's like, what are you doing? Don't stop. You have to keep coming. And I like started yelling at him because I was like, I'm really stuck and you need to give me a minute or I'm going to freak out. But yeah, so it was fun.
A challenging,
it was good times.
Yeah, it was good times.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Now you can talk about it. So how did you film that under the floor, that scene, you know? Like, is it filmed from the side and there's no side on it? I'm curious.
No, it was an actual floor we built. It was 30 foot long and 40 feet wide. And it was built, we have a concrete floored studio. We spread sod down and flipped it over so it was grass side down. And then we built a subfloor 10 inches depth off the floor. And I got to stay on the outside of it, and I had different lenses on the camera, so it looked like the camera was really close. Besides the time that we gave her the camera, we made her crawl underneath it numerous times. So I was like, you get in on one side and crawl towards the camera.
It probably would have been fine, but what we didn't count for was the sod was just on concrete, so as I moved, it started to, like, bunch up, and that's why I would get caught, because it would just be, it would be like a mound of dirt. And so I would try to get over it, but I can't really move. I'm just laying flat, so stuck.
We made two things. I mean, the effect worked great in the movie, there were two things that happened. One, we did not account for the thickness of the sod, so 10 inches became 8 inches. So she would literally get stuck underneath there, and she'd have to dig her way out to keep moving. But the other part of it was the more you had to dig, the dirt, the dust would start to kick up, and her voice would be
By the end of the dirt tunnels, like, filming days, I had no voice. Because from yelling and you're just breathing all the crap, the dirt.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, it was crazy fun times. And the sequel, I mean, I'm not going to give anything. Yeah, but we've got water. We've got live tarantulas. Like, it's crazy. We're going to have a blast on the sequel.
Ooh, you're going to have to interact with live tarantulas, Nicole?
100.
No, I'm not doing that for sure. You're going to have you know, that was a dope person. No, I probably will. I have this thing where I get afraid of stuff, but then I get on set and I'm like, screw it. Let's just do it. Just dump them on me. And I just get into it. But I'm not looking forward to that for sure.
Here's a word of advice to any actors that might be listening out here. Don't ever tell the director what your fear is, because she went, as long as you don't dump them all on my body while I'm laying there, I'll be okay. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah, he wants to get the real reaction. I mean, that's going to cause some real reaction.
Spiders. It couldn't have been. I'm like, you could do roaches. You could do snakes. You could do anything. It had to be friggin' tarantulas.
Oh, no. I'm not with you on that. Like, roaches freak me out more than spiders.
Oh, not me.
I don't know why. Because I work. I clean parking lots. I pressure wash sidewalks and, like, those things, like... Those things will chase you down, man. They'll chase you down. I swear.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
No, they don't really chase you down. But there's some big ones. And I don't know. Bugs freak me out in general. I just don't like them. don't like bugs.
Me either.
But spiders versus tarantulas is a little different. I think tarantulas are a little more tame.
Oh, no. They're worse because they're hairy. It's like, something's wrong with that. It's like, it should either be a puppy or not hairy. I'm not with that. I don't know what's wrong with a bug being furry. I just don't like that idea.
It's perfect for Crawl or Die 2.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Crawl or Die 2 or Crawl and Die : something?
Well, that's kind of a secret. We're going to reveal the title, but it's going to be Name Something, and then it'll be Crawler, you know, something that says Crawl or Die. So it'll be actually two titles, but it'll have its own title and then part of the Crawl or Die trilogy, because we have comic book people working on the comic books that will come out after the sequel, and then they were wanting to do like a Crawl or Die chronicle based on Tank before she joined the group. So yeah, we're still working on that, but we know what the title's going to be. It's a badass title, and so we've got a special trailer that will be coming out early next year when we're done. So,
is it going to be Oklahoma Ward's Crawl or Die?
No. Notice I don't even put my name in the beginning of the film. I always find that just weird. I don't like Oklahoma Ward Presents or anything like that. I'm like, it should be about the character of the movie and the actors, and then yeah. I'm just fine making something that people connect with. That's what makes me happy.
That's awesome. You guys seem super humble and just cool all around. I wish there was, you know, like more people out there like that. I love it. I mean, you guys are super friendly. I talked to Nicole on Facebook, you know, real quick. Like, hey, would you like to come on to the show? And she's like, I'd love to. I'm like, yeah, fucking makes me feel good. You know, then we get to tell more people about it. I mean, I've mentioned Crawl or Die already on this show, like at least two or three times with other guests when horror movies come up, because like I said, it's a movie that makes you feel something. Whether I'm watching a movie that makes me feel panic or claustrophobia or fear or even happiness or joy, something that gives me a physical feeling from watching a movie, I enjoy it.
Well, I really truly appreciate that. I mean, the way we look at it is, here's the deal. I mean, it's kind of why we were able to turn the studio offer down. Because they were wanting to turn it into kind of this homogenized $13 million kind of movie that we see all the time. Our deal is, Nicole and I love movies. That's why we're able to do this and work night and day on it. And we'll go, you know what our sacrifice is? We don't have a car. We live in a garage. But we don't care because we're doing what we really love to do. But we've also... One of the reasons I think that we're so accessible to people is that were it not for all the horror podcasts and the horror bloggers on social media, they are the ones that got our movie out to the public because we had no money for advertisement. And so were it not for them, I don't think 80% of the people that have seen the movie would even know it existed. And like Starlog magazine came on, Fangoria came on, all these, and then all these podcasters and all these horror bloggers just started writing about us. And
that's literally the, like, our lifeblood being indie, because like you said, you've told a few people and it's just that happening in small amounts, and then it all adds up and a bunch of people know about our movie. And we get surprised all the time when we bring up our movie and people are like, oh, I've heard of your movie. And we're like, you have? Like, how? So it's really cool, because without you guys, the movie would not have the legs that it has, for sure.
Yeah.
So we're really grateful.
That's really awesome. That's really awesome. The first, before you guys, I even heard you on the Zombie Life podcast, I already seen the poster, or not the poster, but you know, the image on Redbox on their upcoming movies or something. So it was already in my head, and then when I saw his podcast and it said Crawl or Die, I was like, oh, okay, you know, I've totally seen that already. So it was kind of, I already had a connection with it. Then I listened, it's like, okay, I gotta watch this immediately. And then right after I watched it, I had tweeted out to you guys or whatever, and then, you know, you guys are awesome as hell. So, and it's like, I want people to, you know, there's a lot more than just visuals in movies. You know, the movies that I like the most are honestly the mid-ground movies. You know, as far as horror movies go, the high dollar ones are great, but with too much CGI and stuff, it kind of ruins a little bit. I mean, sometimes it's done well, sometimes it's not. I'm more like the mid, you know, the mid. Like, I like your guys's movie, of course. And there's those movies that are right around that same level, like The Babadook, some crazy stuff like that.
I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, it's like I'm. And I don't want to offend anybody, because we have friends that love the real $1,000 just slasher films, and we have friends that love just the Hollywood version. But Nicole and I really adhere to things like It Follows, The Babadook, that type of kind of like when Halloween first came out. I mean, it just had this gritty blue collar. Feel to it. You know?
It felt indie, but that didn't. It didn't hold
not
it back.
Schlocky,
right. It didn't hold it back in any sort of way. It was gritty and real and
Yeah. And so we kind of always like I'll give you an example. When I first started to do this, there was a cinematographer that wanted to work on the film, and I was looking at everything that he'd done, and he had all these cool dolly shots, and he had all these crane shots, and he had all the equipment, and he was like, I'll if you let me shoot it, I'll bring all this. And I was like, you know what? I don't want dolly shots. I don't want crane shots. That it just doesn't feel right for this. And especially, I think that's one of the problems we had when we were talking to the sequel with the Hollywood people. You know, they were like, we can get all these great aerial shots and come way down. And I'm like, no, that's not going to feel like our movie. Like, we want to keep it grounded.
The crane is not going to fit in the tunnel. I'm telling you right now.
So it's nice to hear that, because we are running into a bunch of those fans that are like, you know, stay blue collar and keep it there, and we'll be a fan of the franchise. And so, you know, it's good to hear that. I'm glad you shared that.
Well, yeah, this is, I recognize creativity, and you guys do everything, right? I mean, Oklahoma, you produced it, directed it, wrote it, edited it.
Yeah, man, we do all of it. And look, just to make Nicole does 50% of the work on everything. She did all the scores, she did all the music.
I listened, is it Rock With Me?
Yeah.
I listened to that. I was on my phone the other day and I looked it up and it let me play it, but I tried to go on it again, I couldn't play it again. Dang, you're a triple threat. Honestly.
Thank you.
That's great music.
I'm super shy about my music, so I'm always hesitant to let people hear it. And he was like, you got to do the score for the movie. You got to put in the end song. And I was like, okay, I really got to knock it out of the park. So I was pretty proud of that song, and I was happy with it in the end. So
that song is really good. There's a couple on there, but I mean, why would you be a Okay. I get it. No, I really do get it, because I'm the same way. I can do something amazing, and I'm real like, shy about it, and I'm like, no, it's not that great. It's not that great.
Yeah, I'm super proud of it, but I'm just super shy. Like, when we were in the studio recording, I'd make him leave the room when I had to sing and stuff, because I'm just like, don't look at me. Or something. Like, I'm just weird like that. But
I get that. I totally get that part.
But we do. I'm really proud of, like, we're both self-taught on everything. We didn't go to school for this stuff. And like, she had to learn how to do sound effects, work within the program. So I gave her that job, and she started working on it. And, I mean, post really took us, what, like 7 months?
It took us a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost a year.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, we did it all. We did the sound. And that's not to say, I don't want to take away from, we did have a crew off and on, like, one day, three people would show up. One day, two people would show up. And we had help on
the creature,
Matt Crabtree and Troy and John
Sterling, yeah.
They worked on that. But as far as everything, sound, editing.
Once post-production started, that was pretty much us. I think I used a guy to do my songs, Jared Evans, who was amazing. But all the...
To mix it.
Yeah, to mix it. But all the... all the sound and editing and all that kind of stuff was us. It was definitely a learning process.
You guys are blowing my mind. I mean, what else? What do you not do? Are you guys vampire slayers and Bigfoot hunters on the side?
Not supposed to tell
you. Okay. Yeah. I won't tell nobody. Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Have you ever slayed a vampire? Be honest.
I'd rather be a vampire than slay a vampire, I think. I love vampires.
Oh,
not the sparkly kind. Fuck that. Not the sparkly kind. Only like the real scary bastards.
What about True Blood? You guys like True Blood?
Oh, yeah.
We were
fans. I mean, it kind of run its course there in the last couple seasons. It got crazy, but we stuck through it to the end. I mean, we loved it.
Didn't watch it until right before the last season. Somebody turned me on to it, so I started watching it. I said, I'm going to check this out, and I fell in love with it. I watched all the first six seasons within like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I watched the very last season as it went on. But I think people overlooked the way that it was actually like horror. It was gory. Like the way they would melt, and it was good. I think people just thought it was another like, Twilight or something.
I really liked it. I dug it, especially the first like four seasons. I thought they were great.
Yeah, I thought they were.
And I love that you binge, because we totally do that. Because
that's what we do.
Our schedules are crazy, so we never really have time to watch the shows when they're on. So when we are done filming and post is done, we'll take like a week break, and we're like, okay, what shows can we watch? And we just did that with Mr. Robot. We like binge.
Oh no, that show is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did it with Breaking Bad. It was like season four, and somebody had us watch one episode, and we were like, oh, my God, this is brilliant. So we waited till the last season, and we did the same thing you did. We watched every single one of them, and then, bam, watched the last season when it was gone. And that's what we do. Yeah,
I prefer that because, you know, I'm impatient. I want to know what's going to happen. So
me too.
Right away. Yeah.
I need instant gratification. I don't want to wait for anything.
Yeah, I love the new Netflix way where they release it all at once. And I'm like, yes, that's what I like.
Yeah, Netflix is great for that. That's why I don't know, it's totally different off topic, but Orange is the New Black. Oh, it's one of my guilty pleasures.
Yeah, we love that too.
Yeah, yeah.
We love it.
Okay, yeah, that's one of my guilty pleasures. Don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Every year I watch that in two sittings. Every year.
Yep.
So what is your guys' favorite part of the movie? I'm going to take a guess. I'm gonna just take a guess and say Nicole's is probably acting.
Oh, you mean my favorite part of, like, making a movie?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. See, this is how my brain works, you guys. I am so twisted up.
That's great. Definitely acting. I love everything about it. I love the preparation. I love the first time I get to read the script. Because Oak is super secretive. I don't have any idea what the story is for the sequel, and I won't know until probably a few weeks before we start, because he keeps everything secret and then hands me a script. And even then, sometimes, like, the script is incomplete, and he'll be like, you'll see on set. I'm sure that's the tarantulas is how that's going to go.
Trust me.
Yeah, just trust me. Just get in that small tube where you can't move or escape, and then trust me.
Little do you know, he dumps buckets of tarantulas, snakes, cockroaches, everything in one. He's like, just don't worry.
Right. If I die of a heart attack, we all know why. But it's, I love, and then just being able to bring a character to life and do them justice is, it's just such a cool experience. Like, there's nothing else that I like more than doing that.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was like, how do you get pumped up for a role? Are you looking in the mirror just going, rah? Because I imagine being Tank, I mean, you got to psych yourself out for that.
It's really a really long process for me because it starts, I think you had mentioned earlier about my gym photographs, but it kind of starts there. I know when I did the first film, I was in the gym a lot and just feeling physically like I'm Tank helps. So I try to start there. And then once I get the script, I really read it and go over it and sort of analyze what she's thinking and feeling in each scene and why. And I, of course, talk with Oklahoma extensively about who she is and what she's been through and ask questions about her background.
And you studied a lot female Marines.
I studied female blogs of female Marines and how they were treated in the military and all that kind of stuff. And then watching other amazing actors like Ripley and Sarah Connor and all those characters. And then it all sort of just comes to a head the first day of filming, and I know that I'm ready. And then from there, I just trust Oak to capture and push me to get me to do the best performance. So,
Oak, I like that. Oak Ward.
Yeah. Sorry.
I like that. He's like, why, are you embarrassed of that? He's like, don't tell people about my Oak nickname.
Yeah. Right.
How dare you.
Yeah. So what about you, Oklahoma? What is your favorite part? Is it the writing process, the producing it?
I feel so bad because this is going to sound like the most wimpy answer, but every stage of it, I'm actually in love with, except for the writing. I don't enjoy writing the script. I actually spend months writing it all in my head, and it angers me that I have to put it down on paper to let everybody know what's happening. But every other aspect of it, I mean, I really do love. I love being on set and working with the actors and pushing them to get a really good performance. Then I love post. And then I love, as much as I hate distributors, I love the negotiating process.
Oh, businessman.
And then one of the greatest times I've ever had with this whole movie was we had a screening in L.A. and I was standing in the wings watching the audience watch the movie. And there was, I don't know if you remember this, there was a guy that was talking to the screen.
Yeah. Well, what was great about it is this guy, when he came in, because some of our friends were in the audience and they came to tell us, this guy was so ready to hate our movie. He was like, oh, it's probably going to suck. He was like,
he was being loud and standing talking, up. And
he fucking loved that movie so much. He stayed
right
after, just like asking us questions. And that was a really cool experience because we never got to experience anything like that. Like seeing the audience and turning someone around in that way. So that was cool.
For me, it was when he was talking, when he was saying,
yeah.
Oh, Tank, you better wake up. Wake up, girl. You better wake up.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, he's in it. We got him.
Yep.
It's working. And that was a really cool feeling because I normally, when we do test screenings, we don't even go in there because we don't want to influence anybody. So we stay completely out and we just read over the comments. And so we had never got to watch an audience before, but at that LA screening we got to, and I was just like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah,
and then
that's
we had
so cool.
We had other screenings where we had three people that had to leave the theater because they were getting dizzy from the claustrophobia. And so then we had to start doing screenings and giving warnings to people because when you're in a movie theater in that dirt tunnel, it's crazy.
Jeez.
And so they were having to go outside and sit down and put their head between their knees. And we felt bad for them, but at the same time, we were like, yes.
Yeah. You accomplished. You accomplished what you're going for. That's great.
And I would say, too, that another thing we experienced for this first time with this movie was the reaction from fans. Like,
That's been crazy.
My second favorite experience of this whole thing was just getting feedback and on Twitter getting responses and people writing and telling me, oh, Tank inspired me so much. And
she gets a lot of women, especially from Japan, that have been writing her about what Tank means to them.
Yeah. Wow. And I mean, it's just growing up, I felt that way about characters in movies. I would look up to them and they'd inspire me in some way. And so to be able to portray a character that's now inspiring other people has just been like this crazy feeling of like, I don't even know how to feel. It's just like, wow, like, yeah, that's amazing.
We haven't posted them on our new website, but on our old website, I mean, she literally, from Japan, we got like 42 people, women, who did drawings of Tank and sent to her. And then by, I don't know, the third month out, we had like 120 drawings that people were just sending us.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. And in Japan, I guess women are more subdued by society. But the women there really were reaching out to Nicole, writing her thank you messages and saying things like, you know, I have a picture of Tank up on my wall, because they would take screen captures and everything. And it was just, it really was insane.
It was super humbling to get that feedback. Because when you play a character, you hope that people will connect with that character and you hope that you do a good job. And so to get that kind of feedback is just so, it was just really
nice. Never expected.
No, like it was touching, seriously.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, I get the same thing through doing a podcast. Like, it's super fun. Like, just sitting here, like, us doing this podcast, we're talking. I can literally go 2-3 hours. I would have a fun the entire time. But, like, when I edit it, and then I put it all together, and then I put it out, you know, and then when, you know, a couple people here and there, like, will post on Twitter, like, oh, I'm listening to this episode. This is great. Or this guest is great. Or I can't, like, everything sounds good, Sean. And it makes me feel good. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is one, I think there's a, you know, there's always that bad side to social media to where anybody can say anything and just be a jerk. But one of the great things about social media that we have experienced is that it can really lift you up. Like, people can really, every time somebody tweets or writes us and is like, man, loved your movie or great job or anything that they say positively, you're just like, you could be having the worst day, and then we'll just be like, okay, we're on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, we're going in the right direction.
We've had people ask us before, like, why do you take the time to answer every single person? And it's like, are you kidding? Like, every comment, every person makes our day. So I don't know how you don't answer. Like, I'm stunned that more people don't do that. I love talking to the people on Twitter for sure, because it's such a quick way to just have a conversation, and I love it. I mean, I love Twitter for that reason.
And it really keeps this going. I mean, because like, look, the set that we're building for the sequel, it's going to take us probably 6 to 7 months to build it, because we're building an actual ship that's like 70 feet long, 20 feet tall, and the studio that we have, we're having to build 4 more studios because the set's just insane.
Wow.
And we have to do it all, Nicole and I and 2 other friends, because we don't have a lot of money. So we're having to build it by hand. So you work on it and you work on it. And one of the things that I had a fan ask me, like, how do you just keep doing it every day knowing that you've got 5 more months to go? And I'm like, because, man, the fans, they keep talking to us, and it's like every day we get re-energized. And so, I don't know. I think social media is really, really kind of our lifeblood, like you said.
Yeah, and if you can just sort of ignore the negative and push that away, then you can just really enjoy the great aspects of it.
Yeah. Like, we're going to do a 24-hour live feed. We did that on the first movie of the set and while we were filming, and that will be going up probably sometime in September.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit earlier, but probably September, of when we start building the ship and all that, so people can see, check in at 3 o'clock in the morning and see how much progress we've made. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast with it.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I love your guys' passion for your stuff. I mean, that comes off to me as like, okay, this is something I need to follow forever. If you guys make a Crawlodyte X in space, I'm watching it. Okay, if you guys want to take it to Mars, Crawlodyte Mars, or if you guys want to take it to Disneyland, we're watching it, you know? Let's do that.
I heard there's like secret tunnels at Disneyland or something.
There probably is. There's probably some creepy stuff over there.
I'm sure.
That's where the zombie outbreak's going to start. It's going to start at Disneyland.
Yeah, you're right.
And those little things that you walk through, they spin. You walk through, and it counts each member, and they're gonna lock up, and everyone's gonna be trying to jump over them and getting caught.
He's got this whole Disney thing down. He's like, I know exactly how it's going to happen.
Didn't they make a movie that was like Scary Disney or?
Yeah,
I never thought it.
We should watch that.
Something Land or something. I know what you're talking about. I saw it. It looks kind of weird. It's black and white, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a couple more minutes here. I know. I'm glad you guys took. I'm so happy that you guys took a little bit of time out of your day. I know you guys are super busy, and it's kind of a pain in the ass sometimes.
Hey, we're happy to do it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, everybody needs to go watch Crawl or Die. Everybody needs to watch it. Well, where can they find Crawl or Die?
Well, look, I'm going to let Nikki give the certain information because she's better at it than me. Her brain is a lot faster than mine. But I will say this. To any fan, If they want to make sure that 90% of the rental fee or the purchase fee goes to us, then they can go and watch it off our website, or they can order the DVD off our website, or order the poster off our website. And 90% of that money goes to us. But they can also watch it on, and you can go through the list.
Yeah, Hulu, Xbox, they sell it at Amazon Prime, Walmart.
iTunes.
I think it's most places you can probably find it.
Yeah.
And we definitely want fans to see the movie.
However they want.
If they have a preference, Hulu Plus, like if they have a preference, go watch it.
Yeah. We get 5% of that, all of that stuff.
But I would say this, if you really want to support us and help move the sequel faster along, then you should probably check out our website.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's crawlordietrilogy.com and that's our hub, so everything happens there. We actually have blogs that we're going to be doing. Tank has her own blog that she updates pretty regularly of just gym
kind of her
stuff
diary.
And her, it's kind Tank's of a diary, diary, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be doing a blog of our personal journey on making the sequel. So they'll just be kind of behind-the-scenes tidbits and our life, basically.
How we're raising the money for the sequel on our own and what we're doing to build the studio and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then once the live feed starts, that'll be on our site, and we have a newsletter that you can sign up and get, like, exclusive updates and
pictures of our cats and...
Yeah!
Hey, cats! What kind of cats you guys got?
Everybody likes cats!
I do. I love cats, but my apartment wants too big of a pet deposit, so I'm like, no, thank you.
You know what? Where are you at? We don't know.
He's in L.A.
Oh, you're in LA.
No, I'm in Fresno, which is it's between the Bay Area and LA, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Nasty.
I have family up there, so.
In California or Fresno?
Fresno, near Fresno. I think they live in Oakland or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But I grew up in California, and we moved here probably about 10 years ago. But my whole child, like from middle school until I was...
We didn't move here 10. It was like 5 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, well, whatever.
We were living in West LA.
Middle school until like 23. I lived in California and LA and stuff, so my family's all there.
Do you miss it?
I miss parts of it. I miss parts of it, especially seeing as we kind of had to move to the middle of nowhere to afford what we're doing. I miss living in a city because I love going, you know, out to restaurants and stuff like that, but it's an easy sacrifice to get to make movies for sure.
I seriously love your guys' passion. You guys will just drop everything and slum it up just to make, follow your love. And that's so great. Like, I hope you guys succeed. I hope you guys are, you know, you got 15 movies under your belt. So it's the trilogy. So are you going to stop at 3?
I'm going to stop at 3 on this because I've got 2 other movies that we want to make, and that I know that Nicole's very interested because she doesn't want to get pigeonholed into just this character. But I have no doubt that we will probably go back and revisit Tank probably 5 to 10 years after we finish the third one.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I will
be like proud to play Tank. So I definitely want to play other parts, but if down the road something happened, I'm sure it's just like Sigourney Weaver with Ripley. She's probably proud to be synonymous with that character. Yeah, I don't know. I would always love to be known as Tank for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's like, no matter what you guys do from now on, like, I will support it. I will follow it. You guys got my...
Well, thank you.
What? Thanks. Like, all my energy goes to you guys. Like, that's amazing.
Thank you.
So where can the people find you? As far as Twitter, Facebook, whatever you guys want to plug, plug it now. If you guys want to plug your address, we can go see you in your slums. We can do that too. Don't do that.
We might like PM you our address. We don't. We're on all social media sites pretty much. Twitter, I'm at Nicole M. Alonzo. He's at Oklahoma Ward. We're on Facebook. Nicole Alonzo, Oklahoma Ward.
Or Crawler Eye Trilogy.
Crawler Eyes on Facebook, CrawlerEyeTrilogy.com. Links up to all the social sites for that. And we pride ourselves on being super accessible on Twitter and stuff. So that's probably the best place if you want to chat with us. Just hit us up on Twitter, and we check that daily. So
yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yes. Yes. I am proud to be your guys' friend. Well, I don't know if you guys consider me your friend, but you guys are awesome.
Thank you. Totally. You can be our friend. We can be friends.
After that improv.
Right.
Start,
after the improv, yeah. We're totally friends.
I know. We've been through some shit now. Like, we
crawled through dirt together.
We did an audition together, so we're totally.
I am horribly awkward, guys. I say the most weirdest shit sometimes. That's why I love me. So, you guys, I'm just going to end the podcast here. Follow these guys. Watch their movie. Watch it. Send all the love to Nicole and Oak as possible.
Thank you.
And you guys, everybody knows where all my plugs and stuff are, so just do all the normal stuff. And like Gidget would say, peace out, Brussels sprouts.
Bye.
So since we didn't go over on the show before we go, because I'm still recording, I'll put this in the outtakes, but I need to know, who is your guys' celebrity crushes?
Oh, man.
Celebrity crushes.
Well, I can, like, list mine for sure. Okay.
You can probably list mine.
I can probably list yours.
Okay, what is it?
His are Marissa Tomei, Keira Knightley, and do you have a new one? I thought you had a new one.
You're right so far, but I'm...
Oh, wait, you had a new one. Damn it! Oh, who's the new one? I forgot.
No, but those two I kind of have a crush on. But as far as talent wise, Keira Knightley. I love Keira Knightley. I think.
Oh yeah, just her talent because she's so horrible.
She's so horrible looking.
Once she did Domino, I was.
Like, I know. I love her. I can't even be mad. I'm like, I have a crush on her.
But so. I do like the girl that played Daisy in Star Wars.
Oh my god, Daisy Ridley.
She did a really.
Yes, she is amazing.
I love her. She's my desktop screensaver right now.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Really? Yeah. Mine? Okay. This is embarrassing because of what this person looks like now, but when I was young, my first celebrity crush was Val Kilmer.
Oh, look!
Oh, snap! That's awesome.
Don't look at my toys.
She was so mad at Christmas time because they had every character, but we could find only two or three
Ray shirts
and stuff.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was crazy. But anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So when I was young, my first crush was Val Kilmer. He looks so bad now, but Val Kilmer was hot when he was in,
Kilmer.
I looked at Dr. Moreau and shit. So don't even get me started. But now, currently, it's probably, I don't know, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. I mean, shit, if I had a guy crush, it might be Tom Hardy, too.
Yeah, he's badass.
But you really like Daniel Day-Lewis. But
that's not a crush like that right. Type of crush. That's like, he's a god. Like, if I met him, I would die. He's so amazing. Yeah. I love Daniel Day-Lewis.
I think out of any actor, he's the actor I'd like to meet and sit down and talk with.
I'd like to work with him. Are you kidding? I would, like, be a shoe shiner on a set just to be around his acting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be Daniel Day-Lewis. Like I said, he's a he just knocks his roles out the park.
Oh, yeah. He does.
His career is totally something that I'd want to follow. Like, he always switches it up. He's always so different, and I love that. He never plays, like, the same person. And
I don't even care if I like the movie. I just love watching
it. I know. Like,
I
could just... Right. And he's so committed. And, I know, for some reason, nowadays, it's not cool to be a method actor, but I just love that. Like, he's so committed and...
It's funny that we're talking about this, because today you had on I Drink Your Milkshake t-shirt.
Yeah. I don't know. There Will Be Blood t-shirt. No, it was yesterday.
Oh.
But, yeah.
I saw that. I saw it on Facebook. Yep.
awesome.
You know, okay, I'll tell you my celebrity crush before you go. And you guys will be like, what? I don't understand. But it's Kristen Wiig.
Oh, I
like her. Did you see the movie, the little indie she did where she had she won the money?
Welcome to Me.
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought that was brilliant.
I'll watch anything she does, even if it's weird.
Oh, yeah. My God. When she came out on that swan, I about fell off the couch laughing my ass off. Yeah.
That was, I don't know. I've always liked, I don't know, something about Kristen Wiig. Maybe it's her, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm in love with her.
You know what it is for me?
I love when people have crushes on celebrities like that, and it's not like the typical, like, oh, I like the blonde, big boob girl. Like you, like Marissa Tomei is so, I mean, she's beautiful, but it's just so random. Like, oh, her? But, yeah, I love that.
For what I like about Kristen Wiig is, no matter what she's doing, I feel like there's this dry wit that she's always winking at us without winking at us.
Like, yeah.
Like silently going, you get the joke, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I love about her.
Yeah.
And
she is so good at playing that, like, where she's supposed to be, like, anyone else would probably laugh, but she just kind of is, like, looking at you.
Right, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig's awesome. Kristen Wiig is awesome. But Keira Knightley, she's cool. And Tom Hardy, yeah. Let me shine his shoes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, have you seen The Revenant?
Of course.
Okay, yeah.
Super loved it. I love Leonardo DiCaprio, too, and I hope he finally gets his Oscar, because I think he should have won by now for something.
I loved Wolf of Wall Street.
I think he should have won for that, but I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, this is going to sound so bad, but my actual crushes, there's actually more men, but as a professional.
It's a director
like
crush.
Daniel Day-Lewis. I can watch in anything. Tom Hardy's great.
Yeah, like, I have tons of girl crushes.
The old,
like,
Robert De Niro. I don't like the new Robert De Niro where he's just playing anything, but when I go back to, like, Mean Streets and stuff like that, I'm just like, he was brilliant to watch. Harvey Keitel. I just watched this.
Christopher Walken. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Christopher Walken. Like, yeah, stuff like that. I could just watch actors all day, especially good ones.
If you could direct one person, what would it be?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay. Sure. So you guys are just, so that would just be both of your guys' best time. Just get them on Crawl or Die.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say me. What are you talking about?
Oh, damn.
Besides you. Everything's beside you. No, because I know me, and I know the first day on set, I jump right in the middle angrily at Daniel Day-Lewis so that we could get into an argument and I could walk away and be like, there we go. Now it's all out in the open. Now let's start going.
He's a brawler. You watch out.
I know. It'd be beautiful. Like, if I got a broken nose from him, I'd be like, I would wear that every day and be like, Daniel Day-Lewis broke his nose right here. Hey,
he don't break noses, man. He brings out the butcher knife and just cuts you up, dude. He's not going to break your nose, man. He's going to cut you up, dude.
I picture it'd be like that scene from There'll Be Blood. He'd be like sitting on the floor. And
but if you go to people that would never, ever be a possibility, not like any of those would be a possibility. But, I mean,
anything's a possibility, man. Anything's a possibility.
Like Jack Nicholson, to me, is just as good as Daniel Day-Lewis. Now, I'm not talking about the last 10 years again. I don't know why, as they've gotten older, they seem to do movies that will just pay them money. But, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Five Easy Pieces, like, stuff like that.
The Shining?
Yeah. I would love to sit down and have a conversation. And then there's directors.
Part of me wishes that you could work with some of those actors, like Jack Nicholson and De Niro, and give them a role again that would be something amazing. Like, you wish that you could be, like, let me hand you this awesome part because I know you're brilliant and stop doing bad grandpa and do this instead.
Yeah. But,
dirty grandpa, right? Was it dirty grandpa? Or is it,
dirty grandpa. Horrible. Yeah. I was just so sad for him. But, you know, as far as young people coming up, I love the kid in Shameless. That one guy, I would love to work with him. And I'd love to work with the kid on Mr. Robot. I think he is brilliant.
He's so good.
I think he's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He actually was in a video game recently.
Really?
It's him. It's on PS4. It's called shit. What is it called? It's a horror game. It's like old cheesy campy horror. Kids at a cabin. You get to play like you play as all the different characters. Yeah. So there's a bunch of known characters in there. There's that. So you play as him for a while. It's like it's him. It's like pretty good. You know, motion captured and everything.
Oh, We're gonna have to buy a PS4. Damn it.
Yeah, you guys would like it because it's not really a game. It's more like you're working your way through a horror movie.
Oh.
And so it's more of choices. So you get to make choices, and all these choices actually determine way different story plot lines. And you can end up with all eight characters living or all eight characters dead by the end of the movie or game.
Yeah, because we didn't bring that up, but we're pretty big gamers because we live out in the middle of nowhere. And so if we're not working on movie stuff, we just kind of let
it be. Yeah, we have a guilty pleasure game, too.
Oh, yeah. You're not sure.
What is it? You got Candy Crush, is it?
No.
Okay, no, here's the game. The game is called Until Dawn.
Oh, okay. I'll write that down. I'll just look for it.
That is a great game that you could play together and just kind of like, no, make this race. No, take a left turn. No. It would be fun.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We love...
Oh, God. Are you really going to tell?
Yeah, we love Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, the strategy one or the shooter one?
The shooter one. We just like it because we can mindlessly go
it's
in there.
It's on Xbox, so it's that one. And the new one comes out this month, and we're like, we've already pre-downloaded it. We're like super excited.
Oh, yeah. You guys on Xbox? How do I find you on Xbox?
His is Oklahoma Ward, and mine is something.
Rebel Girl, I think.
Rebel Girl 85. I can send it to you. We're not good at figuring out how to do the online gaming. We've always wanted to try it, but we can never seem to figure it out.
You guys are making movies. You can't figure out online gaming.
Yeah, well, we just don't have time is the thing. Like, we play, we need like an hour break. We're like, let's play Plants vs. Zombies for an hour.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very true. It's like I've said, because I do a gaming podcast as well. That's my biggest passion. It's called The Horrible Gamers. But that game, like, it's so cheerful. It's like shooting people in the faces with a smile. Like, you know, you run around cheering, smiling.
I love it. I play the Sunflower, and it cracks my shit up because she's like, and then she kills you, and it's the best.
I saw in the new one, I played the beta, and I seen somebody playing as a Sunflower, and they were a black and white vampire. It's pretty cool.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Oh, you played the beta? Is the new one good?
It's the same game with they added a bunch of new characters. And,
Rose.
And the levels are a little more nicer looking. There's a lot more to them.
Oh, cool.
But expect what you know already with just a bunch of stuff added to it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right.
So excited.
Yeah, you guys
well, we like play it. All of it, though. I mean, we play Halo. We play...
I like the...
What's the one that we used to love with the two characters? Army of Two?
Yeah, Army of Two.
We played Army of Two.
I like the Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead. We played the Dying Light.
I didn't like that one as much.
I love Dying Light.
Yeah, I like
that. Okay, we tried to play... the new Alien game, was Isolation? The one where you play Ripley's daughter?
Yeah, it's tough.
And I literally couldn't play it. I was too scared.
It's scary. Not only is it scary, it's really hard. Really hard.
That's one of the reasons we kind of gave up on it is we could not. Yeah, every time I turned around, I was getting killed by the alien.
Usually if a game is super scary like that, I'll let him play and I'll watch. But because when I play, I get so freaked out, I just want to hide in one corner like the entire game. And he's like, "Will you friggin' move?" I'm like, "Here, you just play." But it was so frustrating, and we weren't even playing on difficult. I think we were playing on normal or whatever.
Yeah, I couldn't sneak every time. I had no weapon. I had like a pistol, and I would shoot it like three times, and it wouldn't do anything. Yeah. Still kill me.
We got stuck in that one level where Ash tries to kill you or something, and
I don't know. I thought the atmosphere was great, but it was just so hard. I was just scary. Like, oh, man.
I play games every day, and I had to bump that game down to very easy.
Yeah.
And it was still tough.
Well, I thought it wasn't us, because I was like, man, maybe we just really suck at playing video games.
No, you have to really go through it really slow and methodically. You have to be very, very cautious of everything you're doing. You can't – it's not a run and gun. It's like
– No.
Which makes sense, because it's pretty much like a movie.
Yeah.
That's what they said it was going
to
be.
You probably have an opinion on this. We haven't even tried it, but we had friends that were trying to get us to play. I think it's called Destiny. It's where the one person versus four –
Oh, no, you're talking about...
one person plays
Evolve.
A creature? Evolve.
Oh, yep. Yeah, Evolve.
Is that any good?
I'm not into that kind of stuff, but there is one that's coming out that's one versus four, or maybe it's five versus one. It's going to be Friday the 13th.
We want to play that. Yeah, we watched the whole Kickstarter and everything on that. Yeah, that looks awesome.
Yeah, I've never been too much into like the one versus four thing. I mean, even on Xbox right now, you guys can get into the Fable beta, which Fable's out right now, which is kind of fun. But it's the same thing. It's like four co-op, four people versus one. That might be interesting. I think it's open beta. If you guys want to try that, it's free.
Which one do you like? What type of games are you into? Like the more strategy?
Everything, man. Give me it. Give me racing, give me fighting, give me horror, give me... Oh, I'm not much into fighting games, but just I play it all, man. It's all I really do. I podcast and play video games and work.
That's funny because how I got into it was years ago when the very first Grand Theft Auto came out. And back when it was just like the overhead shot and they were just like little squares going around. And I just progressed up through those and it was just crazy. I was hooked after that.
That's awesome. I'm surprised to hear you guys are gamers. Like, how do you fit that in your schedule? You just went, yeah.
Well, because
it's literally our escape. Like, sometimes our brain just is going to explode, and we need, like, an hour just to, you know, zen out. And we the problem now is they're really starting to phase out co-op. So it's a lot of the time it's like, oh, I guess one of us can play and the other one can watch, and that's not as fun. We used to love getting the games that we could both play on the same team. And like I said, we can never figure out the online. I'm pretty sure we're supposed to have two Xboxes or something to play co-op online. So that's why we like Plants vs. Zombies, because you can play together.
You know, there's if you guys do have two Xboxes, you can console share with one another. So they link them together. So if you buy one game like Plants vs. Zombies digitally, you'll get it on both consoles.
Yeah, we only have one, but I'm thinking with how the games are going, we're going to have to get another one.
But wait, are you saying that we could do it and play it on the same TV?
No, you have to.
No, like two separate TVs, I was saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we run into a lot.
Yeah.
I guess they're just really phasing it out. They figure that no one has real-life friends anymore, and it's all...
No one does. No one has real-life friends. I don't. I don't have no real-life friends.
We don't have very many, so...
Yeah, it really is. This is funny. You're really getting into. We're gonna have to leave in 5 minutes.
Okay.
But I want to get this out real quick. It's kind of funny. We're talking to you because we don't ever share this in interviews because we're like people are gonna think we're crazy. But we work. I mean, we live in this garage. We got a garage built out in the middle of nowhere, which is the studio, and so since we're so far away from a city, we work all day on the movie and stuff. And then we'll sit at night and we're like, well, we can watch a movie or we can just zone out and play a game for 2 or 3 hours and go to sleep. And that literally is pretty much our life. We work on the movie during the day and then at night we either watch a movie or we play games.
And we'll now add it in. We're flipping a couple homes because we're trying to raise the money to do our movie. So that's kind of been...
Yeah.
Our days.
Oh, that's, you guys are doing it all. I mean, you're making me tired just hearing about all this. Jeez.
Yeah, after we finish a movie, we crash for like, I know, a month.
Yeah,
we just take a month off and do a lot of sleeping and a lot of watching, catching up on movies that we didn't get to see.
And binge watching.
I am making him take me see Deadpool on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's a perfect Valentine's Day.
Totally. I can't wait.
That's awesome. Okay, guys, I've been recording this whole thing. I'm going to put this at the end if you don't mind.
Yeah, you can throw in whatever you want. I don't. You're fine to throw in the gaming stuff, too. I mean, it's we've never had anybody even interested in asking us about it. So,
right.
Yeah.
You're talking to a full-time gamer here. So, video games, let's talk.
Recommendations. Every time there's a new game that we're interested in, we'll write you and see if it's any good.
Yeah, because that's one thing. We don't have a lot of money, so we really get bummed out when we pay a lot of money for something and then it's just like the worst thing ever. So we try to talk to two or three people, and if they're like, yeah, that's a really fun game, or it's this type of game, and if you're not into this, don't get it, because it really kind of helps us out financially when we do that. We bought a couple, and we were like, oh, we are not.
Like, we got one, and we were stuck because we spent the money to buy it, so we were playing that for a while, and it just wasn't... We couldn't zone out because it was like, oh, this stupid game.
Yeah, what a waste. $60 is a lot to drop on something you don't like.
Right.
Well, it was one... We don't really get into it. It was a horror one, but the whole thing was sneaking. That's all it was. And anytime you made any noise...
I can do sneaking in, like, one scene or a couple of scenes, but if I have to sneak through the whole game, I don't want to play. I just can't stand it. Like, I get too scared or get too impatient.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What was it? Was it The Evil Within?
I think it was.
I said about the sneaking part. I remember some really hard parts in that game.
Yeah.
And there may not have been through the whole game, but like the entire beginning, you entered this mansion house thing and it was like sneaking the whole time.
All I know is we played 7 days and that's all we did. And we were getting killed every 3 minutes.
We never made it past like the butcher.
I got so mad. I was like, you know what? For the next hour, I'm just going to run. I'm just running. And I was just getting killed like every 30 seconds.
Oh, sick. Yeah. That game is hard. So you guys. So, you know.
But everybody that we spoke to is like, they're like, oh man, once you get past it, it becomes the greatest game in the world. And I was just like, well, you know, we can't, we just don't have time.
Yeah.